Hi, welcome to Marketer for Hire. I'm your host, Sunny Logsdon, and I understand that not all business owners have a marketing background. That's why I'm here, to provide tips and advice on how to build the right team to unlock your business's full potential without wasting precious time and money. Each week, we'll break down complex marketing concepts into easy-to-understand pieces so that you can delegate confidently. Whether you're a business owner with a marketer on your team or you're just beginning the journey of hiring a marketer, I'm passionate about helping you maximize success. So if you're looking for ways to get the most out of your marketing budget, reduce frustration from lack of results, and provide clear, strategic marketing direction to your team, this show is for you. In today's episode, I am answering the question, how should I be repurposing content in a way that is strategic that supports my overarching marketing and sales strategy? Before we get started, if you haven't listened to episode 28, where I talk about the STAR framework that I use for cataloging and repurposing my content and my clients' content, I want you to go back and listen to that episode first, and then come back to this one because I'm going to be referencing that episode a lot today. Having that catalog that I talk about is going to set you up for success to do everything that I'm talking about today. So with that in mind, in episode 28, I called out that most of us think about repurposing as a way to decrease our content creation workload. That's the main reason that I usually hear people wanting to use a repurposing strategy. And hey, that is a great reason. We all want to get off the content creation treadmill. But today, I am going to dive into some of the more strategic reasons that you should be repurposing, and I'm going to explain how to repurpose in a way that you are getting maximum results. You are meeting people where they are in their customer journey, and you are driving SEO. So the first reason that you need to be repurposing is plain and simple. Your audience needs repetitiveness. Now, I know you know this, but what I often find is that my clients are hesitant to repeat as much as they actually should. They know they need to be repetitive. They know that people don't see the messages the first time they come out, but really the amount that they need to repeat their messages is far, far more than you would think. I was recently going through a client's content calendar, and as I was talking about putting the same base content out across channels, they got kind of uncomfortable and they admitted that they felt pushy and obnoxious, blasting out what was basically the same content across all their channels and then doing it again a month later. I also talked to a friend at a soccer game last weekend, and she was talking about her ad agency and that they were advising to continue with the same image that they had been using for months and months in ads. And she felt like it was time to change it. But the agency said, no, this is still performing really, really well, and you need to stick with it. Nothing else is performing as well as this particular image. And once again, she was just so sick of seeing it that she felt like everybody else had seen it too. And let me tell you, it would be amazing for your business if your potential clients actually saw your content again and again on all the channels. To paraphrase commentator David Gergen, he says, if you want to get your point across, especially to a broader audience, you need to repeat yourself so often that you get sick of hearing yourself say it. And then, and only then, will people finally begin to internalize what you're saying. This means they don't remember it until you're sick of it. Posting your content everywhere increases the chance that your audience will at least see you somewhere. There's a term in marketing that you've probably heard some version of it. It is called effective frequency. And this refers to the number of times that someone has to be exposed to an advertising message before you get the desired response, whether it be buying your product or just remembering you and what you do. You might have heard of the rule of seven, and this is a rule that was created around effective frequency. It was coined back in the 1930s, supposedly by the movie industry, who said that people have to hear about a movie seven times before they'll remember it. And that, my friends, was all the way back in the 1930s when we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have computers, we certainly didn't have social media. We did not have all these messages coming at us. And by us, I don't actually mean us because we probably weren't around in the 1930s, but you know what I mean. Today, we are competing with so many more messages. And I did a little research. I was curious to know, okay, so what are these metrics today? And I really couldn't find any solid metrics. I did see some guesses that it's probably 20 to 25 times today. So someone has to see your message 20 to 25 times before they're going to remember it, because with everything coming at us these days, we just retain a lot less and we tend to tune out information that we're not actually searching for. So imagine what that would look like in your content strategy to ensure that every single person that you want to reach saw your message 20 times. When you think about that and you think about the way the algorithms work and the few times that people actually see your content, it'll make you feel better about putting the same content out on multiple channels and multiple times on multiple channels, because you know that number one, they probably haven't seen it. And number two, if they have, they probably don't remember it. So beyond saving you time, putting these messages out there across all your channels is part of a successful strategy. Now, I'm going to caveat this just a little bit by saying that the tone and the voice that you use on the different channels might be slightly different. Like when I post on LinkedIn, my voice and tone is going to be slightly different than when I post on Instagram. So know your audience, but we're talking about a couple of major tweaks here. We're not talking about a full rewrite. So that is still repurposing. The second reason that repurposing is such an important part of your strategy is that it helps you to meet people at every stage of the customer experience. In episode 28, I talked about long-form content, like this podcast, and short-form content, like a social post, and how it's important to repurpose your long-form content into short-form content. When you recreate content in different formats for your different channels, you're able to deliver messages to people who are at different stages of the customer journey. Let me give you an example. Let's say that a marketer is trying to understand content strategy and content repurposing. So this particular person likes to listen to podcasts for information, and they head over to Apple Podcast and they do a search for content repurposing or content strategy, and my episode pops up. Well, again, I have captured that person in the awareness and research stage of their journey. They are aware that they need to be repurposing content differently or in a more strategic way. And so they are then researching to learn more about the topic. So that's where I'm capturing them. However, over on Instagram, I've also posted. And that is a reel, and it just happens to pop up in someone's feed who wasn't looking for information about repurposing. Their interest is piqued, and now they are aware that, hey, repurposing is maybe something that I should be doing. So before they saw my post, they were in the status quo stage. They weren't thinking about repurposing. Once they saw my post, they were in the awareness stage. Now they're like, oh, hey, this might solve a problem that I'm having in my marketing. And so see this post, and then hopefully they dive deeper into my content and go over to the podcast and listen to the episode. In both cases, this person now knows me. So we go back to that know, like, and trust sales funnel, and they might end up working with me at some point. In a well-executed content strategy, you will have content to serve your audience at every step of the customer journey. And not just any content. We're not talking about posting Happy National Donut Day with a picture of your favorite donut. We are talking about content that highlights your key messages and teaches about your key topics. And when I say teaches about your key topics, it doesn't have to be teaching like I do here and like my clients in healthcare do. It can be just demonstrating that you are an expert on a key topic or on a subject. For example, let's say that you are a home builder and you want to be known for exquisite attention to detail. You might have an article on your website that details what people should be checking for as their house is built. And then over on Instagram, you are going to have a reel that shows you walking a house and finding something that isn't right and pointing out, you know, why this detail on the woodwork is not right. And then maybe you're talking about what needs to be done to fix it. And then you are showing what it looks like after it's been fixed. In this, you are demonstrating the thing that you want to be known for. And you're demonstrating it in two different places, right? You're demonstrating it over there on Instagram, where somebody, you know, maybe they're thinking about building a house. And then you're demonstrating it over here in your article when they are maybe researching about how to track progress in a house and how to look out for, you know, mistakes and catch them early in the building process. So in both of these instances, you are creating trust within your audience and you are demonstrating this thing that you want to be known for. When you have your content well organized by customer journey and channel, as I covered in episode 28, you're able to see if you have content gaps. Now, this is an entirely different episode. I'm going to touch on it here, and then at some point I will come back to it. But a content gap is when you don't have enough content about one of your key topics for every stage in the journey. So you want to make sure that you are delivering content on your key topics for every stage of the journey. And when you don't, you are missing something in your content strategy. So again, this is just about bringing people into your funnel and walking them through your sales funnel so that you are able to convert them into a client. If you're ready to become a content repurposing machine with quality content at your fingertips every time you need it, what are you waiting for? Let's work together. Head to sunny-logsdon.com and sign up for my one-to-one Elevate 360 program, where you can think of me as your CMO for 6 months as we tackle your marketing strategy, streamlining and systematizing all of your processes, including your content strategy, so that your marketing runs flawlessly as your business grows. Or if you want to start by tackling your content catalog, book a marketing immersion where we'll get laser focused on one piece of your marketing strategy during a one-day engagement. Head over to sunny-logsdon.com or head to the show notes and click on the link. And let's get started. So the final thing I want to cover today is how to repurpose strategically to drive SEO. And there's three things I want to cover. One is when you're using the same keywords throughout your site in a blog, in show notes for a podcast, in a white paper, Google sees that and ranks you higher for your topic. Two, if you have links within your website that take people from one page to the next, these are called internal links. And when Google can see that people are using these links and staying on your website for more information, it tells them, hey, this is a great website to send people to when they're searching for X topic. So this, again, helps you to rank higher in search results for that topic. We're also going to talk about linking from external channels to your website. These are called external links, and again, they tell Google what kind of content and keywords that you should rank for. So let me break this down with an example. I have a client who is a psychologist and runs a mental health clinic. So this client posts regularly on YouTube. So if someone Googles signs of depression or, you know, another topic that he talks about, one of his YouTube videos is likely to pop up in the results, especially because Google owns YouTube and they like to send people there. But that's another episode. So one of his videos pops up, the person clicks on it and they watch it. Then in the description, He links to articles on his website that go into more detail about the topic. When someone clicks on that link in the description, they're basically telling Google, hey, this website over here has information that's relevant to the video I just watched. So that's the external link doing its job. It's driving SEO for his website. So the user is now on his practice's website, and because he's being super strategic, they didn't land on the homepage. They landed on an article that goes deeper into the subject of the YouTube video. And in this example, it is a video about depression. So it is going to lead them to an article that goes deeper into that. I think one of the articles is, you know, how to identify it in teens. Ideally, the person reads this article, and within this article, there are links to other related articles on his website. And then at the end, there is a link to, you know, maybe a clip from a local news station that he has housed on his website so that he's not sending people off his website. Or maybe it's to another article that they might be interested in. Every time the user clicks on one of these internal links, it's doing two things that drive SEO. One, Google. I'm using the term Google liberally here because the same goes for any search engine, but I'm used to saying Google, so let's stick with it. Google sees that this person from YouTube is now really interested in what my client has on their website and is clicking around on these internal links. Again, this tells Google, hey, this website is legit for this topic. It also increases the average session duration, which is the time that a user spends on your website. The longer your average session duration, the better your SEO will be because it is telling the search engine that you have valuable information for X topic on this site. And of course, we're not just doing this for SEO. You're also doing this because having this depth of information is going to build trust with your target buyer. They're able to click through and see that you have all of this different information, and this makes you the go-to expert for them on this subject. Okay, so there is a lot that we could go into on this topic of SEO, but I think that staying high level in this episode is what we need to do because ultimately what I want you to walk away with is an understanding of how to repurpose your content strategically and why it is so very important to have different types of content across different channels, and then also have it presented on different pages in your website in different formats. So let's recap what we've learned today and what happens when you repurpose strategically. Number one, you are increasing the chances that your content will be seen and remembered. And you know, yes, just repeat yourself again and again and again. I know you get tired of the content, but your audience doesn't. Two, you are meeting your audience at different stages of their customer journey with key messages and topics. So as you think about repurposing your content across channels, think about tweaking your messaging, knowing that over on Instagram, you are very likely going to get in front of somebody that is in the status quo stage. They don't even realize they have a problem. You're helping them to raise awareness. And then when they get over to your website, they're going deeper. And so they're researching this topic once they hit your website. And then lastly, you are driving SEO. You are increasing the odds that Google or whatever search machine is going to recognize you as the expert on your topic and suggest your content when your ideal client is searching. So you want to think about, you know, where am I sending them externally? Meaning what channels am I using externally to drive them to my website so that I get that SEO boost from external links? When they are on my website, how am I sending them to different pages through internal links to increase the time that they're spending on my website and to show the search engines that I have really relevant, valuable information around this topic on my website? If you have any questions about anything that I've said in this episode today, I would love for you to DM me on Instagram at sunny.logsden or message me on LinkedIn. And you can find those links in my show notes. I'm the one on the other end. I'm the one answering your questions. And I would love to hear your thoughts and, hear what maybe I left out of this episode that you would like to know about. And that also goes for additional topics. If there's some other topics around marketing that you'd like to hear me cover here on Marketing for Hire, I would love to hear about those too. So I will see you over on Instagram and LinkedIn. Thanks for tuning in to the Marketer for Hire podcast. I hope you've gained valuable insights to help you delegate marketing so that you can confidently get out of the details. If you enjoyed the show, will you do me a favor? Will you hit the follow button and leave a review and a rating? And if you've heard something that you think will help another business owner, be sure to send them a link to the episode. I'd sure appreciate it. And most importantly, before you go, I just want to say that I know your time is so valuable as a business owner, and I truly appreciate you spending some of it with me today. Thank you, friends, and I'll see you next time.